Coming up next on The Voice of Alabama Politics, the port is growing. Also, the House passes a big gaming bill. And the legislature is taking no prisoners. It's a slaughterhouse. Fly away, little piggies. Fly, fly, fly. All this and much, much more coming up next on The V. Welcome to The Voice of Alabama Politics, where we tackle the tough issues so you have the hard facts. I'm your host, Bill Britt, and as always, I'm joined by Susan Britt, research guru extraordinaire, and Josh Moon, columnist and investigative reporter at APR. Welcome.
Welcome. Hi, guys.
Hi.
How are you?
Hey, y'all.
You know, this past week could go down in Alabama history, thanks to the efforts of Governor Kay Ivey, Speaker of the House, Nathaniel Ledbetter, Representative Andy Witt and Chris Beshears, and some others. The House of Representatives, Susan, passed a historic gaming bill that will fundamentally improve the lives of Alabama and shut down illegal gaming once and for all. I mean, what do you think, Susan?
I think it's great. I mean, it's not only that it's historic in what it's doing, it's historic in the fact that, you know, the House passed it once before, back in 2016, but it was originated in the Senate. And when it got to the House, they stripped it to nothing but a lottery.
Right.
But this time, the full package originated in and was passed by the House. Very strong bill, going to really open up a lot of opportunities here in Alabama for, you know, vacation destinations, and if it goes all the way through the Senate.
Yeah, if it goes through the Senate. But Josh, nobody knows more about the gaming business than you do, as far as a reporter. What's your takeaway, and what does it do?
Listen, I think it's kind of a monumental. It was really surreal after watching the attempts over the course of the last 20 years, to get a gaming bill passed. To watch them come in yesterday with, I mean, surprisingly little pushback from a number of people that would ordinarily push back against this thing. And pass it with fairly comfortable margins. And I mean, it was all handled kind of matter-of-factly going into this. And I think Andy Witt and Chris Blackshear did a fantastic job of handling it. Blackshear yesterday was really awesome at the mic and answering questions and handling the amendments and things that came through. He was obviously knowledgeable of the bill. He had read through everything. He knew the nuances of gaming law, which is no small task in this state. I understand these are lawmakers and that's supposed to be their job, but I guarantee you, you can't find five guys there that know that law like Blackshear knew it yesterday. And it's just because of what we've done over the course of so many years of creating this hodgepodge of gaming laws and constitutional amendments. And, you're right. We're standing on the verge here of doing something very monumental and something very special for the state. And I'm not a huge gambling person. I'm not going to go out and gamble, any more than I already do. And I just think that it's something that's going to bring in a ton of revenue for this state and offer us an opportunity to do some really, really great things with money that we already should have been making.
And I agree. And Blackshear did an amazing job. He was professional. He was calm. Mm-hmm. In the face, Susan, quite frankly, of some of the most ignorant, dishonest arguments I have ever heard about gambling. I mean, one guy got up there, and I think he took us to the Church of the Old Testament.
He did.
I mean, this guy probably never heard of Jesus because that's all he talked about was Old Testament stuff. Go ahead.
Yeah, and by the way, you were talking about the strong vote. It was 70-32. Mm-hmm. But yeah, you're right. I mean, Black Sears was up there. He was dealing with a lot of people who was quoting the Bible. They were, you know, propounding the Constitution of 1901. And finally, Jim Hill got up and said, listen, I understand this is our Constitution, but also remember that, you know, this was a repression of Black people. It was also a Constitution that did not allow women to vote. And I pointed out a massive amount of things and said, you know what? It needs to change.
Yeah, there was somebody, Josh, and you heard this, who was bragging on the founding fathers writing the 1901 racist Constitution, which also also disenfranchised white poor white people.
Oh, yeah, it did. Yeah.
So. Yeah, I mean, what are you talking about? Yeah. It says it codifies white supremacy in the document. Mm. I mean, stop it. Yeah. You know, and listen, I criticize Republicans plenty for saying ignorant things from time to time. And so I've got to be fair and also criticize John Rogers for saying some really ignorant things about Native Americans.
That was bad.
And the Trail of Tears. Yeah. And it was really offensive to a lot of people. I heard from some folks with the Porch Creeks about that. And they were really hurt by what he said. I mean, that, you know, they were really hurt by using such comments in the flippant and you know, humorous manner in which he intended them. And it was just something that is going to cause a problem, I think.
And sorry, but Mr. Rogers, my family was on the Trail of Tears.
Yeah. I think that the interesting thing in my mind is that, and you bring it up, the Porch Creek. They are key to this happening.
Yes, they are.
They're very key to this happening. Also, another key to this happening is that we listen and put Alabama first. Josh, you and I have written about this, that this bill should be amended to include a provision where those Alabama businesses that have been running gaming for years,
decades,
have what's called last and final bid.
Last and best bid
or final and best bid. In other words, everybody puts in their bid. You want to put in $30 million, $40 million, whatever. If a local entity that has operated in the state for years can come in and say, okay, I'm going to top that bid, then it's over. That's putting Alabama first. Right, Josh?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. And you know, I think even the folks of the Porch Creeks and some of the other establishments would be fine with you saying, all right, if you want that provision in there, then you've got to agree to be able to top it by a certain amount of money, you know, whether it be $1 million or $5 million or whatever. I think that they would be okay with that. But it protects Alabama businesses, gives them an opportunity to do this without sacrificing any of the money that you would make off the licenses.
Right.
That's all that anybody is asking for out of this. And I think it's a protection that they deserve. Right? Because, listen, you can talk about illegal gaming or whatever and try to talk about Supreme Court decisions and stuff. But the fact of the matter is that these people, especially at the Dog Tracks and the Porch Creeks themselves, have operated within the bounds of the law and have tried to remain legal for the entirety of this whole process.
And let's not forget, not only the governor and the Speaker of the House and these representatives have worked, these guys, both, you know, at all of the gambling facilities that are already here, have worked for years to help get this passed, to help get it nuanced into a way that Alabama can actually benefit from it. And they want Alabama to benefit
because
from it.
They want it to be fair and equitable, but it has to be great for our businesses and for the people of Alabama, but we're going to leave it right there. You're watching The V, the voice of Alabama politics. We'll be right back.
It's time. Time we had someone in Congress fighting for us. As Democratic leader in the State House, Anthony Daniels helped steer millions of dollars into our district, fighting to raise wages, invest in our infrastructure, and create good jobs. Now he's passed a new law, removing state taxes on overtime pay, putting more money in our pockets. It's time for Anthony Daniels for Congress. One of us for all of us.
I'm Anthony Daniels, and I approve this message.
Your home is your most valuable asset, but what if someone tried to steal it from you? Property fraud is one of the fastest growing areas of fraud in the country today.
As a district attorney, I've seen firsthand the devastating effects of property fraud. That's why I'm proud to support the Montgomery County Probate Court's REACT program.
REACT is designed to protect your property and to give you peace of mind. By signing up, you'll receive an email notification if a document is filed against your property.
This program is a game changer. It has the potential to prevent fraud and protect countless homeowners throughout Montgomery County.
So don't wait. Sign up for REACT today and protect your home.
Protect your home with REACT. Sign up today.
Welcome back to The V, the voice of Alabama politics. On Pride, during Pride Week this past year, or this past Pride Week, the Department of Archives and History held a historical event for 1 hour to talk about LGBTQ history in the state of Alabama. This angered Representative Senator Chris Elliott. It also angered some other Republican lawmakers. And so they decided in retaliation that they would change the makeup of the Archives Board, which has been done this way for 120 years. The board has been constituted this way for 120. They're changing it because they want it to be controlled by political actors instead of a nonpartisan board, because they had 1 hour event that celebrated or talked about the history of LGBTQ.
Blacks have history in Alabama, as well as women have history. It's not just white men, okay? LGBTQ plus people have history here. And the reason the archive board was set up the way it was to keep politics out of keeping a record of our history in the state. It's not supposed to be a political animal, but with everything, these Republicans here in Alabama want to put everything under their thumb, whether it's libraries or whether it's archive, in order to shape and mold history the way they want it shaped and molded.
Josh, gay people have existed since the beginning of time, at least as far as we know. I don't know that, you know, people talk about there was no Adam and Steve, but listen, just depends on your history story, I guess.
Yeah, you know, it's let's be honest about this. What the problem that Chris Elliott has is number one, he's ignorant, and number two, he has a problem that the people at the Archives Board didn't immediately capitulate to him and his powerful position as an Alabama senator. And when they talked to them and they asked them not to have these events again, they wouldn't make any promises on such a thing because they weren't interested in playing politics with the history of the state. They were interested in presenting the history of the state.
Right.
And that's what this board does. And that's what it's done. It's been praised as a fairly honest and good keeper of the history of this state. And nobody's had a problem with it until right now. And they've done everything right. They've done even in this event. This event was done right, and nobody can tell you why they're angry about this event, because they can't tell you this, because to do so would expose themselves as bigots or self-loathing, and they can't do it. So that's what we're dealing with.
And they started out with trying to throw red meat at it. Oh, well, there are children there and all of this stuff. No, it was in the middle of the day. No. There were no children there, but they started with that.
Yeah.
Then they tried to cut their funding.
Yeah.
And now they've come to this. I mean, over a 1 hour event.
Who cares if there were children there?
Yeah,
children can't learn that there are gay people. What is wrong with y'all? What are y'all so afraid of?
I know, but again, I like Chris Elliott. I like him as a person, and I think he just went too far with this. Now I tell you, Josh, if you're right, and he did it because they didn't kowtow to his power, you know how many people I've seen in this political world that thought they could throw their weight around, only to realize you can only ride people's back for so long until they throw you to the ground.
You know what?
Now, I don't think Chris is like that, but I think people should learn that you can't be a bully and last very long in this. You may last 4 years, 8 years, or whatever, but the bullies are always rooted out and beat up and thrown in the dumpster.
Yeah, and those who throw their weight around eventually end up sitting on themselves.
Yeah, that's Wow.
Thank you.
Well, listen, I think that the average Alabamian does not care
about this. No.
And as a matter of fact, the average Alabamian who saw that there was an hour-long event, if any of them actually saw that there was an hour-long event, commemorating or discussing, really, the history of LGBTQ folks in this state and what their contributions have been to this state, which, again, the hell is wrong with it? I mean, I've got a five-year-old daughter. You know, she asks these questions a lot of times. We have these discussions at our house about these things. What are y'all afraid of?
Yeah.
What are you telling your kids? I don't understand this fear of other human beings that your kids are going to run into in the course of their lives.
And let's not
They're going to have to deal with these folks every day. And what are you teaching them? Are you teaching them to disrespect them?
Yes, and this event was, what, 3 years ago?
Oh, no.
2 years ago? It was at least two.
Okay. I want to move on, but I want the last word on this, and that is, this is political stunt. That's all it is. And hopefully it'll die in the House, but who knows? We got a few minutes here. I want to cover this. Last year, the legislature passed a law that said that the state could loan money to distressed institutions, and this was all done for Birmingham Southern, so the state could loan them $30 million. Young Boozer, the Alabama treasurer, who is one of the best public servants we've got in office, he said, nah, your credit is not worth it. We're not going to loan you $30 million. And they went after him because he's told them no, and now they're trying to pass a bill that says that bypasses Young Boozer so that the treasurer doesn't have any say, Susan. Well, the legislature can make the loan.
I'm shocked. You mean like they're trying to do with archive? If you don't do our bidding, then we're going to, we're going to run all over you. He made a wise decision as an accountant, as any banker will tell you. If they've defaulted to the point that they're $30 million in the hole, you ain't getting your money back. It's just, I'm sorry. That's a clear and true fact.
Yeah. And Josh, Young Boozer is a guy that's not a bully, but he is super smart. And you know who thinks he's super smart? Kay Ivey.
Yes, he does.
Yeah. Yeah, listen, I like Young Boozer. But even if I didn't, he's explained in plain English why he did this.
Yep.
Why he denied this loan. He's laid out the reasons for this. And I got to tell you, man, I was shocked to see the decline in enrollment at Birmingham Southern College. I had no idea that it had fallen to such a degree. Yeah. But listen, he laid it out of why he decided to do this. And I got to tell you, I don't want to see a college fold up. I think we need more education. But my God, I mean, it's tough to argue with what he said.
All right. We're going to have to leave it right there. You're watching The V, the voice of Alabama politics.
Today, Montgomery is a safer city. It's time to shift the narrative and take control of our future. We're reopening community centers, remediating blight, and revitalizing neighborhoods across the city. And we're unleashing new opportunities. Over the past year, companies have invested a record-setting $2 billion in Montgomery and created 2,000 jobs. This is a new Montgomery. And together, we're reimagining the possibilities.
It's time. Time we had someone in Congress fighting for us. As Democratic leader in the State House, Anthony Daniels helped steer millions of dollars into our district, fighting to raise wages, invest in our infrastructure, and create good jobs. Now he's passed a new law, removing state taxes on overtime pay, putting more money in our pockets. It's time for Anthony Daniels for Congress. One of us for all of us.
I'm Anthony Daniels, and I approve this message.
As a paramedic, you wouldn't believe the things that we've seen.
I've seen all types of horrible things.
I mean, we're there basically picking up the pieces from your worst day.
Everyone is just driving and not paying attention.
We all have the same goal. All of us want to go home alive and safe and harm nobody else in the process.
Slow down. Be careful. Care about the other people on the road. Don't be the reason that someone else doesn't go home tonight.
Well, Welcome back to The V, the voice of Alabama politics. A new study out from Blue Labs Analytics and the Southern Poverty Law Center Action Fund shows that there might be a challenge in the second congressional district for Black candidates, even though that district was drawn specifically to allow them an opportunity, not a guarantee, but an opportunity to vote for the candidate of their choice. Now, Josh, you're probably going to help me a little bit with this, but this data shows the lack of voter registration could doom a Democratic candidate.
Yeah, listen, they've got to do a good job. The Democratic Party needs to get things together, and they need to get out and do a get-out-the-vote campaign and get folks registered. Because, look, we knew going into this that this district had a chance to elect a Republican. I mean, that's the way it was drawn up is, you know, if there was a good Republican candidate out there that could cross lines and appeal to a majority of white voters and to some Black voters out there, that candidate was going to have a good chance in this race because of the way the district was drawn up. That said, what was relied upon were a lot of the white voters in the suburbs around Montgomery to kind of carry some of the weight for the rest of the rural areas and the higher populations of Black voters. And so, this is not surprising. You've got to get a candidate in there that inspires people. You've got to get the folks out and get them out to vote. And I think that's going to happen eventually. Right now, we're just in the early stages of this.
Yeah, well, we've got, you know, March 5th is the primary, for both the Republican and the Democrat. And it looks like, this is shaping up on the Democratic side. As far as the Republican side, you know, I've seen all kinds of polls, and I think the polls are real as to how whoever paid for them. You know what I mean?
That's usually the case.
I'm not buying that the polls and the Republican thing are anything like what they're saying. I can tell you that Ms. Dobson is coming with hard red meat red meat. Dick Brubaker is coming with some pretty solid red meat. And I think, you look at Mr. Albritton, Senator Albritton, he is running down the middle of the road. But I don't think, and Josh, you can correct me if I'm wrong, I don't think when you get up there and talk about the border and how the Bidens are just terrible and all this, I don't see how you win that district.
I don't either. I have always thought that you were going to have to take. Yeah, I understand in the Republican primary, and this is what I always thought was going to be the trouble for Republicans in this district, is they were going to have to be so ultra MAGA in crazy town during the primary that was then going to kill them when it come time for the general. Because, we're talking about two distinctly different worlds that are going to be going to the polls in this district. Yeah. And I just. You know, I don't think that you can win it the way that they're trying to win it.
I don't either. I think you can win the primary, but you cannot win the general election. But you're right. The Democrats are going to have to get out there and get folks to vote.
They're going to have to get them registered and then make sure they get them to the polls.
If it were me, I'd be calling up on whoever's the best get out the vote person we got in the state.
Yeah.
And get them going.
Get some teenagers organized. Get out there, getting people registered. You know, it's easy to do if they'll just do it.
Yeah, yeah. And then get them to the polls. You know, get them to vote. I mean, it ain't that difficult, right? I mean, you can go pick people up. Uh-huh. You can rent a van. They haven't made it illegal for you to drive people to the polls.
Just the absentee voters.
They're going to try to make it illegal for you to even drive people.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure it'll be illegal next year.
They may even make it illegal for people to drive to the polls. Well, certain people to drive to the polls. They're going to have to walk to the polls.
If you've got a car older than 15 years, you can't drive it to
the polls. And Lord knows we don't have any buses that go anywhere anymore.
Right. That's the truth. That's No, listen, I think you're right on this. I honestly, I've been very surprised by, number one, Dick Brubaker's approach to this. And because he has gone hard right on a lot of these things. And I understand what he's trying to do. He's trying to win the primary. And then I guess there's a belief that he can put a lot of that stuff back in the bag and people will forget. But I just don't think that that's going to be the case.
I just know one thing. When my dog goes outside, she can't put it back in the bag.
No, she can't. And let's don't treat the voters as though they're stupid. That's, because they're not.
They're not.
Yeah.
Hey, I want to talk about some good news that we heard this past week. The Alabama, the Port of Mobile had set record export record of almost $30 billion.
With a B. Yeah, it was $27.4 billion, which is a 6% increase from last year, which was 25.5. However, it is a 43% increase since 2020.
Right.
Just 4 years ago, 3 years ago, really. That is significant. I mean, it shows how, because this is demand for Alabama goods.
Yeah.
You know, cars, chickens, you know, all the things that we're exporting out of here.
Yeah.
That is a big number.
And then we're bringing a ton of things in, too. Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, that port is a crown jewel. And I think Richard Shelby, former Senator Richard Shelby, understood that. Josh, and he really saw, I think, Mobile as the front porch to Alabama. And I think Senator Britt will see that. Senator Tommy Tuberville has got his head so far up the Republican front runners behind that he can't see anything. There are no headlights.
Well, it's not just he doesn't just have it up the front runners behind. He's got it up Putin's as well. And so, you know, he's a big Putin fan apparently these days. But, and listen, you'd think he would be able to see that from his perch in Florida where he lives.
Yeah, that's true. Absolutely. You know, it's right there. You know,
honestly, you're right. That Richard Shelby deserves a lot of credit. And, you know, I've said many times that, and I didn't agree with a lot of what Richard Shelby did or in terms of his social policies and things
Right.
But in terms of what he did for the state, there's no arguing that he was a fantastic senator for this state.
Right.
And this is just another example of that.
And we have toured that port down there. And I'm telling you, you would be amazed at what they do and how they get it done.
We had a cameraman go up on one of those cranes and we'd like to not got him down because he was so terrified. But anyway, we're going to have to leave it right there. You've been watching The V, the voice of Alabama politics. You watch us because what's them?